Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, hello, everybody. I am Glenn McGee from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 15th. How is it March 15th already? 2012, episode 359. Good morning, Horse World.
Good morning.
It's Thursday.
Let's kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
It is, yeah, again, how did it get to be March 15th, Glenn? How is that possible?
I know. It's like the first quarter is almost over already.
It was just leap year. I was like, yesterday? What the heck? And it, you know what? It's funny. Like, March in most places, it's starting. Is it like turning to spring there, and is it nice?
Oh, yes. I'm going to have to mow the lawn soon. It is definitely turning to spring here.
Isn't that lovely for you? It was 85 degrees yesterday. And 85 is usually wonderful. I love 85 degrees. But when it's March 15th and it's 85 degrees, all I can think about is, oh, my God, it's coming. Oh, God, the summer's coming. It's going to be awful. Like, seriously, the only time I've ever thought about leaving Chad was when it's like 117. And I'm like, why am I living in the desert? This place sucks. I'm leaving. Nothing you did,
we're
going to
be saying that this summer, too. It's 102 degrees and it's humid. The humidity's 100%. And why did we move to Florida?
Yeah, you guys did not take the best time. You should have moved last fall, not moved to Florida in the summer. God,
Jennifer didn't get this bug up her butt until about 2 months ago. So it's all her fault.
Wow. That's your fault, Jennifer. That's what you get. Speaking of, we have a packed show today, and you have something that you just have been dying to tell me, and I cannot stand it anymore. So let's get to that. Jennifer, what is on today's show?
On today's Thursday that feels like a Friday guest-laden contest announcing edition, we break from the gate with another Hoosier Horse Fair highlight clinician. Heidi Harriet will be providing a little primer on training horses to do tricks that you want him to do, not things like open stall doors. And next up, HRTV is up to some tricks of their own, and Carolyn Connolly will be here to explain just what that is. And to continue our announcement theme, the Chronicle of the Horse is here with some impressive results from the HITS Desert Circuit. And last but certainly not least, we will be welcoming a new sponsor to the network this morning, Equity Manufacturing. Stay tuned, folks.
All about shoveling poop. That's what that's all about, shoveling poop. And this is for you, Jamie.
So as we have discussed, it is my Friday. And that's really, really exciting because tomorrow I get to go to a horse trial in the middle of nowhere, California. Okay, I mean, this is like literally the middle of nowhere. So middle of nowhere that there's no cell phone service. I can't do the show. It's the only horse trial like this a year. It's called 3-Day Ranch. Well, I get this email yesterday. And, you know, I live in Phoenix where it's like rains like maybe one day a year. And I've been going to these horse trials where it's just been this amazingly perfect weather. And then I got this email last night. Hello. The latest forecast expects rain will start Friday night, early Saturday morning, with the bulk of rain midday Saturday. They expect showers for Sunday. Although we can't say exactly, the prediction is for a half to 1 inch of rain. In general, be prepared for periods of rain, no rain, showers, cold, and cloudy weather. There is no snow in the current forecast for our area. Safe travels. See you soon. Where am I going? My God. Apparently, it's in the mountains. And I was not informed that this cross-country course is all uphill and downhill. So it'll be uphill and downhill in the rain and the cold. My horse is going to kill me. He's going to
Aren't
get
Aren't you so glad
air.
You're not sleeping in a tent and you have your new trailer? Aren't you so glad you have your living quarters?
I am. You know, we were like, should we take all the dogs? Well, after reading this email, the dogs are not coming. I am not having three muddy-ass dogs jumping in my new trailer. It's not going to happen. Sorry, pooches. You get to stay with Jose for the weekend. So, yes, apparently rain. And you know what is really awesome is they say that the bulk of the rain is going to come about midday Saturday. And guess when I do show jumping? Yeah, about midday Saturday.
It never rains in Southern California either. Apparently, you're going on the one weekend a year it's going to.
I guess so. And this is like in the mountains or something, so it's super high elevation, so that's why it's so cold. This is going to be so fun. I'm really looking forward to it now. Get my mug boots. Gross. I have another one.
Okay.
Well, this past week we had listener Shauna Kroll on to literally put up with our stupidity about standardbred racing, and she was very patient and educational. If you want to hear anything about standardbred racing, kind of the 101, go back and listen to, I think it was Tuesday's show. Well, apparently last night Wildfire, her horse, standardbred racehorse, won last night, making a new lifetime mark of 155-2. She went gate to wire and won by two lengths. And then Tuesday night, Commence Fire won, and he was awesome, too. That's her Facebook post. And she also says keep her friend Marie in her thoughts. She's going through a tough surgery. Anyway, congratulations, Shauna. We would definitely say a prayer for your friend Marie. So there you go. Now tell me your
Shauna,
story.
Shauna, I'm moving to Florida, Shauna, and you're winning all this. I expect dinner. You can afford to buy me dinner now when I move to Florida, Shauna. I'm just saying.
Cha-ching!
She's doing good. Good job, Shauna. Okay, so my daily winnie goes out to my lovely wife, Jennifer, who is the lock picker extraordinaire. And I'll tell you a little story of what happened last night. And this is one of those things, like, you can't make this stuff up. You just can't make
she
it
is
up.
She is the what extraordinaire?
Lock picker extraordinaire.
That's what I thought you said. And
yeah. So we decided that we had to head over to the barn, and we had to go over there for a couple minutes, take care of Beaker. And we've been having this mission of getting the cat out of the house because the cat has never been out of the house. And we're thinking if the cat ends up having to move to Ocala, the cat's going to need to get out of the house and get used to the car because it's going to be in the car for 12 hours. So we got the cat a little harness thingy, you know. And the cat, our cat's name is the Beast, for those that don't know. And he has that name for a reason, because he's kind of beastie. So we put the little harness on him. Well, he takes the harness quite well. And we decide... 2 days ago, we took him out, and he did pretty good. After about a half an hour screaming nonstop in our ears in the car, looking out the windows, he quieted down. So yesterday, I said, well, we're going out to the barn. Perfect opportunity to take the cat and the dog along for another ride to get him used to it. So that's all well and good. So we get the cat in the car, and we load him up, and we load the dog up, and we head over to the barn. Well, the idea that we have is that one of us has to stay in the car so the cat doesn't, like, shred the interior of the car and into little tiny bits of plastic, which he would do. So Jennifer says, okay, we park at the garage or the barn, and Jennifer says, I'll go take care of the horse. You stay in the car. So
what did you have to do when you stayed in the car, Glenn?
I was supposed to read my phone and play Words with Friends.
Get so, caught up on the games. Gotcha. Now, can I jump in here real quick? This is not an infant you're talking about, or a toddler that you have to watch in the car. It's a cat, right? Couldn't you just crack the windows and walk away? But no, he'll shred things?
Yeah, we're kind of figuring he's going to shred the interior of the car because he's mad that he's in the car.
He does
and
that.
And his name is the Beast for a reason. So... I'm in the car with the dog and the cat, and I got the air conditioner going. It's kind of warm here yesterday. And, you know, I thought, well, you know, I was, you know, I looked down at my phone. And of course, you know me, Jamie. How long did it take for the ADD to kick in and for me to get bored in the car?
I give you 90 seconds.
Probably about 60. You gave me a little too much credit. ADD kicks in. I'm getting bored with my phone. After about 60 seconds, Jennifer's off cleaning Beaker's stall. And I'm going, well, let's just see how the cat does by himself in the car with the dog. I'll just peek from around the corner. So I get out of the car, and I shut the door, and the cat runs right over to the driver's side. Now, let me preface this with saying I left the car on because I'm considerate of my pets, and I left the car on with the air conditioner going. So I get out of the car, I shut the door, and the cat runs right over to see me through the window, and I hear click.
Oh, God.
He steps on the lock button of the car with the car running with the air conditioner going.
And let me guess, you did not crack a window.
No,
well,
we did not.
No, I didn't. So
right.
I think, well, Jennifer must have her keys. This is easy, no problem. We're at the barn, and the car is running with the air conditioner going. And I had noticed before I got out of the car that we had about maybe about an eighth of a tank of gas left.
Oh, God.
So I think Jennifer will have her keys. And then I look in the car after I'm swearing at the cat, not believing that this has happened. And I look on the floor, and there's her purse. And I know she keeps the keys in her purse and never puts them in her pocket. So I go walking over to the stall where she's cleaning the stall, being all happy. And I say, Jennifer, you don't have the keys to the car, do you? And she said, no, they're in my purse on the floor in the car. Why? So I have to proceed to suck up all the pride I have and tell Jennifer that because of me getting my ADD kicking in and me getting bored in about 30 seconds, I had to get out of the car to experiment to see if the cat would actually shred the car while I'm watching, and the cat immediately locked the door. I mean, it wasn't 2 seconds after I shut that door that the cat ran over, jumped up, and I heard click. So I thought, what am I going to do? You know, both sets of keys are in the car. It's got about an eighth of a tank of gas. The cats are going to die of heat exhaustion.
What was the first question I asked you after you said the cat locked the car doors? Did I say, did you crack a window, Glenn?
And I said, no, I didn't crack a window. Why would I crack a window? I got the air conditioner on.
Oh, God, you're stupid. Sorry.
Jennifer says, fortunately, I cracked a window on my side. So we go look, and sure enough, my lovely, thoughtful wife had cracked the window about a half an inch. I mean, not far at all. Not enough to get your hand in and unlock the door. So we're going, okay, now what do we do? Because my fear is now the car's going to run out of gas. First of all, with the new cars running out of gas, that's never a good thing. That costs you $500. We're going to have to get a locksmith out here, which is going to cost $150. And hopefully he can come out before the gas runs, or the car runs out of gas, and then the pet side asphyxiation and the heat of the car. And so I'm going, and the whole time, Glory, our greyhound, is looking up at me going, can I come out and play? Why are you just standing at the window? So my thought was, get the cat to come over to the window again and step on the unlock button. That's my brilliant thought. And, of course, so I'm here, kitty, 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 tapping on the window, kitty, 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 tapping on the window. And, of course, he's staring at me from the seat going, what the hell do you want? You know,
no,
and
he's
then,
staring
course,
at you going, my plan worked. The humans are upset.
he would not come over to the window again.
I can now kill the dog in peace.
So Jennifer's like, I can get the door open with, I'll figure out something. So she goes over to her tack trunk. And she, where'd you get, by the way, where did you get the shoelace tie, the shoelaces? One of your pairs of paddocks?
I keep a spare set of shoelaces in my tack trunk.
So I see her getting out the shoelaces and tying them together, and then she's getting out the duct tape. And I'm thinking, well, we're going MacGyver territory here now. And I said, what are you doing with the duct tape? You're going to try and – I just couldn't figure that out. And she said, I'm going to take little strips of duct tape, and I'm going to put it on the little loop of the shoelace I'm making so that when I drop it down over the car doohickey, you know, the little thing you pull up, when I get it in there and drop it down over that the duct tape will stick to it so it won't slide off. And I was like, yeah, right, that's never going to work in 100 years. The duct tape's going to get stuck to the window and it'll never work. How many times do us husbands say that to our wives when we know we're wrong and we're going to have to eat it later? But we keep doing it over and over and over again. It's like a thing with guys. We cannot not doubt our wives when they come up with these ingenious harebrained ideas. So she takes these little strips of duct tape and she wraps them around a little loop that she's made in the end of the shoelaces. And the theory is that we're going to put that through the opening in the window and we're going to drop it down over the little thing you pull up and we're going to pull it up. But now, you know, in the old days with cars with that little knob you pulled up, they had a little lip at the top. So there was actually a little lip at the top that you could get a hold of with a coat hanger or whatever you were using. They don't do that anymore. Now they're straight. And I think that was for that reason. So she does it in her best, you know, fair style. You know those fair games where you had to pick up the little bottle with the little ring on the string? Well, that's what it was like. Jennifer was in there, and she's dropping the little string down, and she's angling it over towards that little pull-up thingy, and she's angling it over, and we discover that the window is curved so that when she's got it, it's too far away from the little knobby when you put it straight down. So she's like, rock the car. So here I am. Now, keep in mind that the cat and the dog are in the car. And I'm rocking the car back and forth to get the swings, the little string swaying, to get it over the little doohickey in the car. And now the boarders are starting to gather that are there at the farm going, what you doing? And I had been trying to hide this so we didn't have to tell the other boarders that the cat locked the car and all my faults for the last hour at this point. So finally, she does get the little string. Believe it or not, Jamie, she got the little string over the little knobby.
Ah, but I had to use a second tool, didn't I?
Yes, and she says, well, I got to have something else in there to force it down. She comes back with pieces of hay, long pieces of hay. And she sticks the long piece of hay down in there, and she gets the long piece of hay down by the string, and she pushes the duct tape against the little knobby, and I'll be damned if it didn't work. The duct tape stuck the little knobby. She pulls the string up, and it unlocks.
Let me finish this sentence, because I'm waiting for this part. And then the cat saw the string hanging down, thought it was a great toy, jumped up, and relocked the car.
He tried to.
He tried
to.
Oh, string toy. Yay. Love this game. I'll wait to kill the dog till later. Are you kidding me, Jennifer? That is amazing. That's amazing.
So now added to my emergency kit list is we have the duct tape. We always have that. Is at least one long shoestring and a piece of straw.
I can't believe it either. I love your ingenuity. And I love the fact that you were able to do that. But I find it shocking that you nor anybody else at the barn had any sort of roadside assistance plan. What is wrong with you people?
Wait a minute. If I can get it open myself with a shoestring and duct tape, why am I going to pay AAA $100?
No. AAA is not $100. It's like $40 for the entire year. Trust me, I lock my keys in my car on a regular basis. And I appreciate the fact that just the other day I locked my keys in my truck with the truck running, if you recall, and called them and they were out there in like 15 minutes. I did not save a lot, you know, I did not waste a lot of gas. I did not spend a lot of time with my car and perched over it with the truck keys, with the duct tape, and with some sort of tool. Roadside assistance, you probably get it with your insurance company. It's like $3 a month if you get it with your insurance company. Please take a look, my friend.
Thinking,
you're married to Glenn.
That's true.
It would not have made a great story for the show. So we were thinking of the show the entire time.
Uh-huh. You're married to Glenn, Jennifer. Let me just go ahead. Your husband leaves the cat in the car with the dog while it's running and does not crack a window. First of all, Glenn, super dangerous. There is carbon monoxide.
Well, now the air conditioner was going. It was fine. I've been air conditioning the outside.
Carbon monoxide poisoning. So you got to crack a window anyway. Duh.
He doesn't want any flies in the car.
That's
oh
true.
My God.
His barn has lots of flies.
You have a cat and a dog, and you're worried about flies?
What would have happened then is he would have cracked the window, and then the cat would have been trying to catch the fly, would have jumped down and landed on the accelerator pedal, and the whole place would have exploded or something.
Well, then you wouldn't
now, would
have
you
to
have
find
a picture?
It.
Would you,
you wouldn't have
give
to
me
find
some
it.
Credit here. Would you ever have pictured the cat stepping on the lock? Would that have gone through your mind at all?
Yes.
No, it would not.
Without a doubt. I if I leave my dogs in the car, I crack windows enough for my arms to get through. I'm not kidding you. Because I always think of the dog standing on the door, wagging his tail and going, click. But you are trying to find a home for this cat. So if the car blew up, you would not have to try to find a home for your cat.
I think the cat knew we were trying to find a home, and this was his way of saying, screw you.
Yeah, that's smart. Smart move. Glenn, Jennifer, let me just call your insurance company and add that $2 a month to your policy because you're married to Glenn. That should be enough for you. I don't know why you have to argue with me about it.
We can go on about the great and wonderful things Glenn has done with vehicles over the years, but we'll stop with just that one story.
This is for you, Jen. Now,
we won't mention the chainsaw and the weed whacker, the expensive chainsaw and the expensive weed whacker and the expensive other tools and implements I've run over with our pickup truck over the years.
This is for you, Glenn.
Guys, we have a great contest going on. Start today, and we would like you to be part of it. If you're coming in here to Rolex, you can get a five-night stay.
Don't ride with Glenn. Don't ride with Glenn. He'll lock you in the car and not crack the window.
A five-night stay at the Clarion Hotel from April 25th through April 29th, the whole run of Rolex. You can stay free for 5 nights. That's an $800 value. And all you have to do, by the way, the Clarion Hotel, as we said, is only 4 miles from Kentucky Horse Park. It offers everything you need from a full breakfast. It has their Tempur-Pedic memory foam beds. It has a big pool. It has a restaurant with southern cooking, and it has a bourbon bar. All of that at the Clarion Hotel, and you'll get to stay there for free. If you've already booked hotel, just cancel that one if you win this. Cancel that one and get your free nights here at the Clarion. That's where we're staying. And how you win is this way. Post your favorite photo from a past Rolex on the Eventing Radio Show Facebook page. Just go to Facebook, search for the Eventing Radio Show, and post your favorite photo from a past Rolex. It can be any Rolex. It can be any photo. It would be great if you were in the photo. Maybe you're with one of your favorite riders or one of your favorite riders' horses, or you're just goofing around, you're eating the turkey leg, whatever. Just post it from Rolex. We would love to see your pictures from there. If you've never been to Rolex and this is your first time you're going, then post it from any event that you've been to, any three-day event that you've been to. Just post a picture up there. It could be a horse jumping, whatever. And then Chris is going to pick a winner on April the 1st to get that 5 nights free at the Clarion Hotel. You can post up to 2 pictures, only 2 entries, so 2 pictures. And, you know, we would love to see your pictures over there at the Eventing Radio Show Facebook page. And, you know, I can't wait to see what people post. Be clever, be creative, pick the pictures that you think will get some attention and get you to win that $800 value of the 5-night stay at the Clarion Hotel. And I promise you a free ride from the Clarion to the park one day. And I may not even leave you in the car.
Turn it down, people. Turn it down. Don't do it. I love this idea. You know, it's funny because I was trying to think of, like, when I have pictures of me at Rolex when I was, like, 10. And that would be hilarious, and I'm definitely not sending them because 10 years old, I think, was when I decided that I wanted to dye my hair blonde, and I had a perm, and I had braces. So you're not getting any photos of that.
I want to see that one. That'll win you for sure.
No, and if my mom is listening, do not send. My mom has, like, I have destroyed most pictures from that time in my life, but my mom has one or two, and she is not allowed to send it to Glenn. This is mother-daughter being friends here.
Mom, please, please, please. I promise I won't post it on Facebook for 4,000 people to see. I promise.
I know he will, so please don't do that, Mom. All right, let me tell you a news story. Let me just change the subject. Don't even know why I brought that up. But, hey, you know, we talked about Luck, HBO's series yesterday, and how they had suspended production because the third horse had died on the set. And this one was not during filming. This is when they were walking it back to the barn. It reared over and flipped over backwards, and they had to euthanize it. Well, it was a third death. Well, guess what? They have now, this is the HBO statement. It is with heartbreak that executive producers David Milch and Michael Mann, together with HBO, have decided to cease all future production on the series Luck. Safety is always of paramount concern. That we maintain the highest safety standards throughout production, higher, in fact, than any protocols existing in horse racing anywhere, with many fewer incidents than occur in racing or than befall horses normally in barns or at night in pastures. While we maintain the highest safety standards possible, accidents unfortunately happen, and it is impossible to guarantee they won't in the future. Accordingly, we have reached this difficult decision. The whole show has been canceled because three horses died during production.
And I'm telling you what I told you yesterday, that this was a very convenient excuse to cancel production because they were not getting ratings on this thing. It was not doing well.
Really?
And I had heard last week that they were thinking about canceling it anyway. So don't you think this was just the perfect out? And then they don't have to, you know, they don't have to tuck their heads between their legs and say the show just sucks and nobody's watching it. Now they can just bow out saying, you know, we're killing too many horses. And you know what? When you think about it, really, they're probably right. More horses die in training every day, no matter what discipline they're in, than probably they've lost on this show. Although they did get kind of unlucky.
Yeah,
this last
dude.
One that flipped over.
Dude, seriously, though, how many horses did they use in the production? Probably like 20 and three died. So I think maybe they used 40 and three died. Well, there's a story that just came out on Kentucky Racing Safety. Check this out. In 4,532 starts recorded at the track, this is the new Polytrack surface that happens in Turfway Park. Okay, Turfway Park, their whole entire meet, 4,532 starts, only one catastrophic injury. Polytrack. So, first of all, numbers are looking. Is that what?
Yeah, but that was on the racetrack. You know, this last horse that was hurt at Luck, he did it in the barn. So, does that include barn injuries and pasture injuries, too?
The other two horses in Luck died while they were running. So, I'm just saying, they say they used 1,000 horses and two died during training. Well, I'm telling you that the artificial surface has really helped out, and its numbers at Turfway were fantastic, you know, for this past meet. You know, you hate to hear about any horse dying, but one out of 4,532, when the national rate is usually two per 1,000, that is looking a lot better. So good to Turfway management, all the vets working there. Apparently they are now doing some pre-race inspections of the horses, and they're really doing a collaborative effort to bring up their safety rates, and it seems to be working. At all Kentucky tracks, thoroughbreds, 40 fatalities in 2007, down to in all Kentucky tracks, 26 in 2010. So we'll have to get some more numbers for this past year, but it's looking a lot better. So I think that when you have three horses that die filming one F1 show, that's a big number.
And I'm saying that I don't think that this was the real reason they canceled the show. I think they would have kept going anyway because they could justify, say, you know, we did everything we could, but, you know, just what they said. I'm skeptical that this is the real reason. That's all.
I guess I can see that.
I think if the ratings were through the roof on this show and it was, you know, it was hugely popular, if it was American Idol popular, they wouldn't care and they'd keep going. That's what I'm saying. I could be wrong.
Yeah,
hey, before
I
we
guess,
go on,
you know, money talks, I guess.
Yeah, money talk. Before we go on to our first guest here in a minute, I want to thank Aubrey, because Aubrey Miller listens to our show every day, and I know she's listening right now because she posted on Facebook that, and I, Aubrey, you make me feel like I'm not the only idiot in the world, because she says, we had a dog lock a running car at the airport one time. Took an hour and a half for AAA to show up, and the exhaust system keeps the carbon monoxide out of the car when it's running. My cats would have been out the window that was cracked enough to get an arm in, for sure. Way to go, girl. I'm not the only one. Woohoo!
Yeah, I guess I drive diesel trucks, and I worry a little bit more about that, but it doesn't, it's just never a good idea. What if there's an engine fire? You know, what if for some reason your car overheats?
Think about the last, I don't know how many times my engine has caught on fire in my car.
Hey, listen, I was a traffic reporter, and you know how many times a day I report car fires? All day long. Listen to a traffic report, and I beg you to not hear of a car fire, okay? It happens all the time.
All right, let's talk about Holland Horse Tech, and then we'll get to our first guest.
Okay, Holland Horse Tech. I got it. You got to get me back on task here, Glenn.
Yes.
Well, Holland Horse Tech is coming to the U.S. and Canada, and they're bringing their full line of horse protection wear by Indra. And Indra is a name well known by European riders for 25 years, and it is the creator of high quality, I mean really high quality, horse boots, leg wraps, and back pads for the equine athlete. All Indra products are manufactured to the highest specifications with only the finest of materials, providing a sleek look, flexibility, protection, and support for your horse's leg and back. And I got to tell you that yesterday Chad and I went for a ride, and he rode his new horse. And while we were getting on, the horse gets a little bit girthy. You know, we were putting the Western saddle on him for the first time. So I went to pick up his front legs and just kind of pull him out and stretch him out a little bit, because somebody hadn't picked his hooves yet, apparently, because I said, did you pick these hooves? Well, no, I didn't get to that yet. I'm like, well, if you would have picked these hooves, you would have noticed that the shoe is bent. The person who the last person to shoe these horses did an absolutely terrible job shoeing this horse. They shot him 2 days before we bought him. They cut his feet off, terrible fitting shoes. Well, one of the shoes is sprung a little bit. Now, I can't pull the shoes off because they whacked off his feet, so I've got to make these shoes stay on. And I thought, I've got bell boots. I've got a pair of Indra bell boots. I wrapped those suckers around his front feet. They are the nicest bell boots ever. First of all, you wrap them around the feet. There's Velcro in between to, like, help them stick while you're getting the Velcro, to like, straps across. And the Velcro stretches. So what they say about them is that the bell boots provide optimum protection of the cornet band and the hoof, and two elastic double Velcro straps keep them secure whether your horse is in the arena or in the field. And the interior of the bell boots, see, this makes sense because that's what I saw, was a viscoelastic polymer providing superior shock absorption. Chad was like, those are really fancy boots. He looks very fancy. These suckers are awesome. Indra bell boots are available in two sizes. Indra, a name well known by European horses and riders for 25 years, now available on this side of the ocean at hollandhorsetech.com. If you have had trouble keeping bell boots on your horse or fitting them or finding ones that you really like, definitely check this brand out, because I was so impressed when I put them on yesterday. Again, bell boots by Indra, hollandhorsetech.com.
Thank you, Jamie, and thank you to Holland Horse Tech. Well, our first guest today is an entertainer. She's a third-generation professional entertainer, animal trainer, animal welfare advocate, and also she has been on the Today Show, Good Morning America, Fox, MSNBC, O'Reilly. Kind of makes you wonder why she's here with us, doesn't it, Jamie? She's a speaker, and
she does clinics.
I know. I don't know why she's here. And she's also served as co-host of two local TV shows in Orlando, Florida. I can't wait to talk to her because you know how I love entertainers, having owned an acting company at one time. And this is Heidi Harriet. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm so glad you could come on the show with us. I really am. After I saw your credits, I was like, why is she coming on with us? Why would she even do that?
Because I'm so excited about coming up to Indiana and being part of the Hoosier Horse Fair.
That's right, you are. You're going to be part of that coming up April 13th through the 15th in Indianapolis. But, you know, before we get into that, tell us a little bit about your background, because you've been a horse trainer and entertainer for a long time.
I'm so blessed. My grandfather and my father and mother and all my sisters have been animal trainers, and my sisters and I currently are. And we get to do something we love, and I hate to say make a living at it because it doesn't feel like work, but we're blessed to be able to do it. So I get to perform. I get to train. I live with my horses year-round. I travel with them. I usually do about 20,000 miles a year with my horses and over 300 shows a year. So I'm firmly ensconced in this and love every second of it.
Now, you... are you a trick rider as well as training your horses to do tricks?
Well, a trick rider in my mind is someone who's vaulting and doing that type of stuff, the hippodrome stand and that. So I used to do that. At this point, what I do in my performances, I have three different things I do, which is I have a dancing horse, which we the official word for that is called a high school horse. Haute école means a higher level of schooling. And so we've always referred to them a high school horse. They're now more commonly called a dancing horse. So I sit astride the horse while she does amazing dance moves. I have Liberty horses, horses that perform at Liberty. And I have one large horse and three miniature horses. So the little horses go under the big horse. They waltz around together, walk on their hind legs, that type of stuff. And then I have a miniature trick horse who's quite popular in his own right. His name is Lucky Star. And he's going to be entertaining the kids there. And he says yes and no and unties handkerchiefs, goes to bed, and covers up with a blanket. And the real thrill is the boys and girls roll dice, and he counts out the answers to math problems. And he generally doesn't miss. So people are usually standing there with their mouths open saying, how did he do that?
That's probably better than most kids coming out of elementary school today.
I used to say Lucky Star helped my kids with their math homework on a regular basis.
So now, what kind of horses are you using currently? Or do you use a variety, or do you have a preference?
Honestly, I don't necessarily go for breed as much as I go for, I'm looking for a particular look. I want a flashy horse. And for my purposes, I try to find gray, black, palomino, or white. Because if I am performing at a horse show, the bulk of the horses are a sorrel or chestnut or bay. So I try to find something that's going to stand out. And then from there, beyond the look, I'm looking for the movement. I'm looking for a very light movement. I don't necessarily want a real hot horse because I'm traveling all over. We're in so many environments. I'm at a county fair. I'm at a horse show. I'm at a circus. I'm at an amusement park. So my horses have to be pretty bomb-proof, and we spend lots of time doing that. When someone asks me about training, it took me a year to train my dancing horse at the barn to train the movements and that type of thing. Then I take her out in these different venues. It takes me a full year, and it's almost more difficult training to get the desensitizing and what we call the bomb-proofing so that she can walk in a department store and be a model for something. She can go down a fair and a parade with flags and noise and all of that. So that's the important thing to me. I currently perform on a quarter horse. Quarter horse mare is my dancing horse. You would swear she's part Arab for the horse folks listening. And even I, when I bought her, said to the guy, she's Arab and what else? And he said, nope. So I got the best of all of it. I've got a quarter horse temperament, the look of a beautiful Arab, and the movement of a thoroughbred or an Andalusian even. People are always asking me if my horse is an Andalusian. So that says a lot for a little old quarter horse, doesn't it?
Yeah, it definitely does. And, you know, I assume with your parents and everything being in the business that you started to learn to train horses when you were a kid. That was really where it started.
Absolutely. Again, my grandfather began all of this. He worked at zoos. He worked for something called the White Horse Patrol. He trained mounted police. And then he did circuses and fairs and rodeos and that. So he had a variety of stuff. Our family's probably best known for Liberty training, which is multiple groups of horses in one setting. My father's best known for being on Ringling Brothers Circus in the center ring with 12 stallions. And there's a magnificent picture of my father with 12 rearing horses in, you know, all at Liberty. Liberty meaning... they're loose. There's nothing between you and the horse other than the use of your tools. and you're just guiding them, and it's magnificent. So yes, I got to grow up doing this, and so it's second nature for me. And the more I do horse shows and get involved where I'm doing the clinics and that type of thing, the more I recognize that I've got such a gift given to me by my family. One, our training method and program, and two, the ability to do this, you know, year round, and it's not my hobby. It's what I do full time, and I fully recognize at this point in my life that I'm just blessed to be able to get out to do this. So what I do now, there are no secrets in training. There's no magic. I don't try to hide anything. I actually provide on my website, horsetricks.com, and it's T-R-I-X, all one word, horsetricks. I actually provide the tricks on video for you to be able to train your horse because I want people to have fun with their horses. It's a different level of interaction with your horse. It's not high-level, heavy training that makes you kind of tense or nervous or you're, you know, really going at it. You see results quicker, and I honestly believe it allows people to spend more time with their horse. They get excited. I hear people tell me, I can't wait to get to the barn now. It used to be drudgery after work. I got to go clean the stall, and maybe I'll get to ride. You can stand right in the center of the barn aisle if it's raining or cold and teach your horse to say yes and no and smile and bow and pick up stuff with their mouth. So I'm providing that online at my website, and then I do clinics, and I'm loving being able to teach people to do this. I don't mind at all. If they're going to be good and do what I do, God bless them, and there's room for all of us, you know?
Well, I got to ask you this, because I worked for a guy that trained trick horses, and he taught me how to teach my horse to bow. And
okay.
He told me that he's going to show me this, but I couldn't tell anybody ever under penalty of death. No, I'm just kidding. He was like, you can't tell anybody this. This is like basically ancient Chinese secret. No tell, you know. And so are you getting, you know, are other trick trainers mad at you for doing this?
Well, actually, quite a few of the clinicians, that you know, some of the top clinicians, are coming out with videos on trick horse training and that. So it's very popular right now. The irony to me is there's even a few folks out there saying, you know, that you can do trick stuff like I do. I do this professionally. I mean, I make my living taking my horses and performing. And no, I don't think they're upset with me. And again, I think we, you know, I've been able to do this as a living, and I'm just trying to help people have fun with their horse. And I know sometimes myself, if I have to go practice something heavy, you know, I kind of drag my rear end. When people are learning to do tricks with their horse and seeing quick results, and I'm teaching a very safe method. My principles of training start with safety first. This is all on my website because that's first and foremost. But it's quick. You know, you can see some quick results on some of the easier tricks. You don't have to change cues for mounted in my program. I use a release cue that I don't see, that I see absent in a lot of other people's programs. And I have separate and distinct cues. So you, like you talked about bowing, most of us, the trick we do. And when I'm performing or when I get on my horse, she bows down and I mount her. I could stop doing everything else and make a living selling horses to bow to mount because everybody wants that. So when I teach your horse or you, I show you how to teach your horse to bow, I'm going to show you how to do it without having to change it over when you're actually ready to mount. We don't get down on our knees. I have you stand up, look professional, feel confident, which, as we know as horse people, is important when you're working around your horse. You have to be in charge, authoritative. And it's nice and easy. We bow down, and eventually you'll be able to step right up and get in the saddle. So those are some of the differences. And, again, this program's worked for three generations in our family. We've trained our horses with the same method. We look at the updates in science and technology and best practices because I believe that's very important. We learn so much every day. And then we take those, combine them with the best of what we've done, and that's what I present at my program. And I'm going to be doing, I think I have 5 clinics. I'm doing trick horse, liberty horse, dancing horse, I think general horsemanship, and maybe freestyle choreography. So lots of different things I'm doing at this show, and there's no secrets. I'm going to show you what I do and how I get started and try to help you on your horse training journey because I want horse folks to have a great time with it.
And what teenage girl, horse-crazy teenage girl, as well as adult girl, who doesn't want to teach their horse to do some tricks? That's something that, you know,
yeah.
every everybody wants to do. You know,
everybody with my age wants to know how to make their horse bow down to get on them. So I've got it covered, I think. I'm at a stable right now. I'm actually off for a couple weeks. I'm really some exciting stuff coming up for me. I hope to announce at the horse fair. But so I'm working on that. I just taped for my website, taped a lot more tricks. And I'm at a barn that probably has, a good 70 horses or so. So someone's always asking me to show them something here, and it's a lot of fun. I've even used a couple of girls' horses here in exchange for helping me with stalls and that. So we're having some fun, and everybody gets excited about it.
Well, that's terrific. It's horsetricks.com, TRIX.com is Heidi's website.
Correct.
And, of course, the Hoosier Horse Fair can be found at hoosierhorsefair.org. It's April 13th to the 15th. You can check Heidi's schedule there right on their website. And, Heidi, you have a great time. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks. And, by the way, you know, Buck is going to be there, too, so that's really going to be neat. There's going to be so much going on at the Hoosier Horse Fair, the ranch, rodeo, all the clinics, the performances. So come on out and see us. We'll look forward to it and say hi.
Are you going to teach Buck to do tricks, Heidi?
We might make some kind of a negotiation.
Thanks, Heidi.
Thank you.
I think I caught Heidi off guard with that question.
Yeah. I was going to catch her off guard and say, Buck who? Who's Buck? What?
That's great. So glad she joined us there. Our next guest, I think, is here already. So let's just go from one to another here.
All right, sounds good to me. We've got Carolyn Conley on from HRTV, and she's going to talk to us a little bit about some programming that is going on. Good morning, Carolyn.
Good morning. How are you?
I am good. Are you on the East Coast or West Coast?
Oh, West Coast.
Oh, lucky you. We're in the same time zone, my friend. Let's have some coffee together. So tell us a little bit about what HRTV's got going on now.
Well, we are, as you know, we're the network for horse sports, so we're covering not only horse racing but show jumping as well, and equestrian sports and Western. And I'm waking my son up in the other room. He's not happy about it. And we are having a live webcast of the HITS Grand Prix coming up, the $100,000 Sullivan GMC Truck Grand Prix this Sunday at 2 o'clock Eastern Time. So you can tune into HRTV.com and see the live webcast of the event, of the Grand
Prix.
And
these webcasts are free? Is that what I'm reading?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So fantastic.
Yeah,
go ahead.
It's a great way to get to see all the action and not miss a thing.
Absolutely. Now, of course, they've got the qualifier for the Pfizer Million, and a lot of international competitors are going to be down there as well. So that sounds fantastic. Now, you guys also tell me a little bit about how I'm going to be able to come to the Breeders' Cup, because I'm kind of excited about that.
We are too, and the Breeders' Cup's right here in our own backyard at Santa Anita Park this year. And you can win a trip for two with airfare, hotel, and ground transportation, and tickets to 2 days of the Breeders' Cup. It's Breeders' Cup Friday and Saturday. By simply going to our website, on the homepage, you'll see a banner go across that says, win a trip for two, the Breeders' Cup. It's called our HRTV.com Race of the Day Challenge. And we have specific races at our tracks around the country, our Stronach Group tracks, that are HRTV.com Race of the Day races. And when you click on this banner, it'll take you to the page where you can simply put in your name and email address, and you get to make your picks in each of these races. And it's not a complicated matter. It's not handicapping. It's simply click on the horse that you like here in each of these races. It's just the names listed. So should you come up with one correct answer in the course of this contest that runs through the end of April, you are entered into the drawing to win a trip for two to the Breeders' Cup. And you can play every day, and the more correct picks you have, the more opportunities you have to win.
Okay, so all I have to do is pick a winner from each track, and this is like I'm looking here, and because I'm going to do this totally. Gulfstream Park.
I'm doing it too right now, actually.
Because you are the king of name. He will only pick horses by their name anyway. So 11 horses in the race 6 at Gulfstream Park, and I'm just supposed to click on the name, pick the winner, and there's races from several different tracks. Now, this changes every single day, so we can try every day until it's over.
Yes, and you can a free code there, so you can actually get a subscription to HRTV.com for a month, and you can watch these races take place on our live programming.
Oh my gosh, I love that idea.
Hey, don't bother anybody else doing it, because I'm going to win. I'm already filled it out. So I picked, in this one race, I picked She's Packin' Heat, because that's the best name ever. And then we have let's see here, How Far We've Come. That's going to win the next race. And then in the next one is Bud, I Crushed It. And I have no idea what that means, but I just like the name. So I'm good. We're good.
You're so wrong, because at Gulfstream Park in race 6, Hey Dirty Face is going to win the first one. Okay, and then obviously Promise Me is going to take it at Laurel Park. I'm going to go with... there's so many good ones. It's Not Unusual at Santa Anita, duh. And then we're going to go with, let's go with $2 to Win at Golden Gate Fields, duh. Those are all the winners. Do I get a prize for picking every one of the winners? I mean, obviously, I should probably play the pick six or whatever. And I just crushed it.
Yeah, so play every day. It's simple, it's easy, it's a lot of fun, and it's lighthearted, which is what we enjoy once in a while instead of the hardcore handicapping in our game. And so I'm glad you're enjoying it, and we invite you and your listeners to play every single day.
And how long is this going to go on?
Until the end of April.
And, oh my gosh, okay. And
now, certain tracks close before then. Gulfstream Park wraps up this week, and then Santa Anita Park wraps up... actually, Gulfstream Park in early April, and then Santa Anita Park toward the end of April. So you will have a couple of weeks there where a certain track will be closed, but other tracks will be running. So there'll still be horses to pick.
I'm just going to put this as part of my to-do list every day. Just go to HRTV and pick the winners, and we'll see what happens. I probably will never get one right all the way through April. So I'm just going to keep trying.
Put in your promo code there, and you can get a free month of HRTV.com live programming, so you can watch the races take place and see how Bud I Crushed It and the rest of your picks did.
Sounds good.
So, and don't forget Sunday, 2 o'clock Eastern, live webcast of the HITS $100,000 Sullivan GMC Truck Grand Prix. So you can see all the action at HRTV.com.
I got to ask, do you know who's doing the play-by-play on those? Because they can be absolutely entertaining.
Yes, and no, I don't have the name who's doing it. I was involved with it up at Saugerties for the Pfizer Million last year, which was a blast. And the Pfizer Million champ, Andre Thieme of Germany, will be part of this event. He'll be competing. It'll be a lot of fun regardless.
That sounds great. That is HRTV.com if you want to go check it out, and go ahead and enter the contest there, and you got a pretty good chance of beating Glenn and I, because we're both terrible.
Hey, you got to go with whatever method you have. Be consistent about it. If it's picking names, then pick names, because you will have winners.
That sounds good. Well, eventually I'll get one, hopefully by April. All right, well, thank you so much. We really appreciate you being on the show. HRTV, everybody, thank you very much, Carolyn.
Thanks so much, Jamie and Glenn. Nice to talk to you.
All right. Good to talk to you, too. Yeah, all right. Glenn, It's on.
I got it. She's packing heat. How can you beat Chief Packing Heat?
You know what? I already forgot who I voted for. I don't even remember.
I know. All right, let's play a song. Today we have another new one off of Templeton's Icy Blue Heart CD. And I would love for you to post on Facebook, like we do every time we play one of her cover songs, who did the original of this. And if you can tell us who the songwriter was, that's even better. So here is the song. I'm not going to say any more. I've got to find it on my list here. And we'll see you in a minute when we come up to the Chronicle of the Horse.
She's a rounder, I can tell you that. She can sing them all night too. She'll raise hell about the sleep she lost. Even cowgirls get the blues. Especially cowgirls, they're just the kind.
Templeton Thompson, Even Cowgirls Get the Blues off of her Icy Blue Heart CD, which is going to be out very shortly, she tells me. So we'll keep you informed on when you can buy that. And we want to know who was the one who first recorded that. And also, if you know the songwriter, post it on Facebook. We'd love to have you post it there. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek with Jamie Jennings and Coach Jen, who's keeping us very busy with guests today. I'd like to talk about the Horse Radio Network show highlight for the day is the driving radio show, which came out this morning. We have an update from the dad of Lindsay Cox, who was the runner-up on The Bachelor. That just ended Monday night, and they did the whole flower thingy and, you know, picked the winner and everything. And nobody agrees with who he picked. And apparently we've heard since then that he's been off scene with about five other women in Vegas. So it apparently didn't last anyway. But we get the real scoop from Lindsay, who was the runner-up's dad, who's a driver, a horse driver. She's a rider. And what he really thought about the whole thing. And he gives us the behind the scenes and the filming at their house and all that stuff. So if you want to hear what really goes on and how he really felt about what's his name, the Bachelor with Bad Hair, then you can listen in. He was off his restrictions. They make him sign these confidentiality agreements, anybody involved, the families and everything, and they can't say a word. But as soon as the show's over, you're allowed to blab. So he blabbed, and you're going to want to hear it. So drivingradioshow.com.
You know, basically what's going to happen is, and hopefully this will happen for her, is Lindsay is going to get her own show. She's going to be the Bachelorette in the next one. Or the jilted lover, who was the one who was selected, will be the next Bachelorette. Do you have a prediction?
Well, let's just say that Dad mentioned, when I asked him, had he ever watched The Bachelor before, and he said no. And I said, are you ever going to watch it again? And he said no. And he said, but I might have to watch The Bachelorette.
Ah,
so
I
don't know.
You don't even want to be the one who wins, because then you get a season two, you know, and you're kind of famous for being a bachelorette again. Awesome.
Do they get paid?
Oh my God, they get paid.
Yeah,
definitely, sure. definitely get paid. I've known a couple guys who are on reality shows, and the longer you stay on, the more you get paid. You get paid per episode.
I was wondering about that.
I
will give this away, and then you're going to have to listen to the rest. He said it was very hard as a dad to watch your daughter do those stuff, and I can imagine it would be.
Oh, my dad would kill me. There's no way I could do any sort of reality show ever, even if I did look like any of those girls that are on reality shows. My daddy would shoot me. He would come after The Bachelor with a gun and be like, what are you doing to my daughter? You can't be doing that stuff, blah, blah, blah. Get your hands off my daughter. I'll shoot you. That would be my dad. So, no, it's got to be tough for him.
It was tough. You have to love your kid to watch him go through that anyway. All right, let's get on with our next segment.
All right. Well, we've got Lisa from The Chronicle, cronofhorse.com, and she's going to do a competition roundup for us. So, I hear, Lisa, that you were in California. Is that correct?
Yes, I was in California last weekend.
Now, where in California were you?
I was at the Hits Thermal Horse Show, which is about 45 minutes outside of Palm Springs. So,
okay, you were so
not too bad.
No, not too bad at all. It's one of the more beautiful places I think there is. There are these mountains in the background, and, you know, every day this time of year, it's just perfect weather. It's like 82 and crisp and sunny. There's never a cloud in the sky. So my life is really hard is what I'm saying, I guess.
When you're on the airplane and you're traveling to Palm Springs to go to this, and somebody sits down next to you and they're like, hey, where are you from? And you're like, oh, where are you from? Virginia, right? Or something? You live in Virginia?
Yeah.
And they're like, where are you going? And you're like, well, I'm going out to Palm Springs. Oh, really? What are you going for? A horse show.
Yeah.
Do people look at you like you have two heads?
Yeah, usually it's an odd conversation. It's hard to explain, especially because for some reason, the name of our magazine, which is, of course, The Chronicle of the Horse, like, that seems to be very confusing for people if they've never heard of it. I think because it's quite long and it's sort of oddly descriptive and sounds like it's from the 30s, which it totally is. I think that throws people for a loop. They're like, The Chronicle of the what?
Yeah, when people used to ask me about, you know, what magazines you subscribe to, I'd say, you know, Chronicle of the Horse and Horse Illustrated. And they're like, Sports Illustrated? Wow, a young girl like you, that's great. I'm like, no. Chronicle of the Horse and Horse Illustrated. I'm 12.
Yeah.
I don't read Sports Illustrated.
usually they're quite confused by what I do. I don't think people think it's an actual job either. I think, you know, they sort of are like, oh, this girl must just be independently wealthy and traveling to these horse shows for fun, which, of course, is not true, although it is fun.
Listen, try doing a podcast about horses. I do a radio
show. I can
only
imagine.
About horses. And what do you talk about after the second day? Horses.
Yes.
Don't you run out of steps? No.
Even harder is, like, you know, I'm sure you deal with this too. If you go to the doctor or something, you fill out your forms about where you're employed. And they just look at you like you're crazy.
Listen, this is what I got into a long time ago because I was a DJ in Atlanta. And when you're at the doctor and you're going to have like your hoo-ha looked at, you don't want to tell them where you are. They can hear you every morning on the radio.
Yeah,
so
that's
weird. So I would just write broadcast and broadcasting. So you could just write journalist and just leave it at that.
And they'll think I work for, like, some secret organization as an undercover journalist or something, which would be fine.
Oh, my God. We should start writing CIA. And then I can't tell you anymore because I'll have to kill you.
I can't tell you where I work. You know, because we live near D.C., you do actually meet people who you ask them where they work, and they're like, I can't talk about it. So I could just be one of those people.
Oh, you are still one of those people. I take the train into the helicopter comes and picks me up every day. That's great. So what exactly were you doing in California? Tell us about it. Tell us about all the round, the whole wrap-up here.
Let's see. I was out there covering every year there is a six-week winter circuit. HITS does several winter circuits. They do one in Arizona, one in Ocala, and then the one in Thermal, and then they do a couple other circuits throughout the year. So the one in Thermal is 6 weeks. We go always for the last week because we're doing – you know, people who won circuit championships, which is like the grand total of all their points throughout the circuit. And then there's a big money Grand Prix that week. There's a $200,000 class. There's also a $25,000 hunter class. So it's a time that makes the most sense for us to go because it's the biggest things. So I flew out last Wednesday and got there, you know, Wednesday evening and went to the horse show Thursday. So, you know, when we're on assignment, I think I've talked about this a little bit, we're really one of our main jobs is as photographers. So, you know, you just sort of stand by the ring for 8 to 10 hours a day and take pictures of beautiful horses, which is not a bad deal at all. So there were lots of exciting things, though. There are two Grand Prix. There was like sort of a welcome one on Friday, which Chris Pratt and Cruz won. And then 2 days later, they also won the $200,000 Grand Prix, which was awesome. Just an incredible week for them. So that was really fun to see. There's also an equitation class there, which is the Ronnie Mutch class, which is kind of interesting. I didn't know anything about it before I worked here, but it's quite a big deal. They do one in Thermal and one in Ocala. And these kids, starting from like 5 in the evening, they're sequestered. Their phones are taken away. They're not allowed to speak to their trainers or anyone besides the other riders. And then they have a course set up. They have to walk the course completely, you know, by themselves without the help of a trainer. And then they have to warm up without a trainer as well. They can have a groom set fences for them, and then they have to go in the ring. And this year it was really tough. It was held in the big field where they do the jumper classes, and it was just getting dark at the time the class started, and it was very shadowy and very spooky, and lots of horses were stopping out. You know, one poor girl tumbled off, and you can just imagine, like, you're one of these kids watching your friends ride, and you can't talk to your trainer about what is happening out there, and people are falling off, and horses are stopping, and...
Good Lord, that sounds fun.
I know, you feel so bad for them, like, you know, being all on their own. But the riders who did really well, it's cool, you know, because they have their warm-up strategy. I was standing sort of on the bank between the warm-up and the ring, so I was watching both a little bit. And, you know, some of them were really smart about their warm-up. They would, you know, jump fences on an angle, and they would halt after them, or they would work on flying changes. And some of them were just like, set me a cross rail, set me a vertical, set me an oxer, and just sort of loping over them. And those were the kids that maybe didn't necessarily do as well. So it's a pretty cool class. The warm-up is also judged. They get bonus points if they have a if they have a good warm-up strategy, they can also have points taken away if they have a bad one. So it's kind of an interesting class because, you know, no one's out there holding their hands. They're kind of on their own.
And how old are these kids?
They have to be under 18 or younger. They're juniors. So some of them are, like, 14. And then the girl who won, Morgan Geller, she's 17. So.
Well, that's great. Well, they're doing things a little bit different. How much money did the 17-year-old win?
That class, I don't think, has a prize money. I don't think that one does.
Because here I am, I'm going to this horse trial where they're predicting at least 1 inch of rain about the time my dressage test starts. And it's really fun. And then, you know, I have to pay. And then, of course, you know, she probably trotted around and warmed up and went in there by herself and it won $25,000 in a perfect weather and the hits thermal. So, whatever. I'm not mad. I'm not jealous. I'm not bitter. It's cool.
That is the crazy thing about the jumpers, especially every time I go to a show, I'm like, why don't I have a jumper?
I know, right?
But then I remember that buying jumpers is also very expensive. And, you know, I'm sure the money is gone quickly, even if you do win it. So
yeah, but think of Snowman and Harry DeLayer, $80. Okay,
I know $80. That is amazing. Yeah, and you think like so Chris Pratt in the $200,000 class, his percentage of the winnings was $60,000. You're like, that's a pretty good amount of money to make in one day.
That doesn't suck. That definitely
does
doesn't
not
suck.
Suck.
Well, Lisa, thank you so much for joining us and giving us a little bit of a wrap-up and kind of, I feel like I was there watching these poor children struggle through a day. But that's great they even take their phones away now. I mean, my gosh.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Like getting text instructions from your trainer, you know, you could do anything. Oh, he's Facebooking right now, telling you how to warm up. All right. Well, listen, thank you very much. We will talk to you again next week. What are you doing this upcoming week on the Chronicle?
This week I'm at home this week working on some stories for the future. And then I think I'm home next week, too. And then I head back out to California for Galway, which I'm really excited about. It'll be my first time there. So.
Is that in 2 weeks?
It's in about, I don't even know. I'm so mixed up with my days right now. I think I leave in exactly 2 weeks, yeah.
I'll be there.
Oh, that'll be exciting.
Yay, and I'm going to be husbandless, so you can groom for me.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun. I'll look forward to that.
All right, shoot me an email. I'll make sure that, you know, I'll do something exciting to make myself grace the cover of Chronicle of the Horse.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Either, like, succeed wildly or fail wildly. I'm sure you will do the succeeding part.
I doubt it. all right. Well, Lisa, I'll see you in a couple weeks, and we'll to you next week.
Sounds good.
All right. Take care.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
She's going to be in the Chronicle, all right. She's going to do a whole expose on radio show hosts failed miserably at – no, I'm just kidding.
It's going to be like the greatest falling off photo ever taken. It's going to be like arms in the air, legs above the horse's ears.
Airbags popping.
Airbags exploding. Great. I've always wanted to be in the Chronicle, and this will be the way that I will do it. You know what? Whatever it takes, really. Bucket list. I never specified how I was going to be in the Chronicle, just that I was going to be in it. So there you go.
That's true. Before we get to our next guest, I have to tell you, you know who Camilla is, the Duchess of Cornwall. And Camilla, of course, was the one that, I just want to get into the whole thing because I really don't know why he went from Princess Di to Camilla, which just drives me crazy. But anyway, she was making the rounds. All of royalty, we talked about it yesterday, is making the rounds. We had Prince Harry was down in, where was it, Brazil. He was down in Brazil. And he was playing polo down there and making the rounds because it's the Jubilee year for the Queen. So they're all doing that. Well, apparently the Duchess of Cornwall decided that she was going to go out and she was going to meet some of the horses over at the King's Troop Artillery. And as she was walking by, one of the horses reached out and pushed her. So there's this picture now that's all over England of her scolding the horse with her finger up, scolding the horse. And that's the picture, of course, that made the newspapers as the Duchess scolding the horse. Apparently, she's quite a horsewoman, as all the royalty are. And she then gave the horse a treat and gave him some mints and things. But this horse just reached out and bopped her one with his head.
So what I'm seeing here in this picture is, maybe we can post this picture on our Facebook page, is there is like a giant 17-plus hand horse and this little old lady who he reached out and bopped her, you know. And then I wonder, first of all, is this soldier that is riding this horse going to get thrashed because his horse misbehaved? You know, that's my first thing. Like, have that guy killed. And then the horse reaches out and pushes her with her nose. She turns around and she is right in front of him, like wagging a finger in his face. All it takes for him to just boop one more time and he's got her in the face, you know. That's number two. Number three, then you go through all that and you give him a stinking treat, which is what he wanted in the first place. So really, you just reinforced and positive rewarded. We need Shauna Koresh on here for positive feedback for a bad behavior. There you go, Duchess. Way to teach him to run into people.
I've seen some beautiful horses, though. There are some more pictures of her making the rounds there with the king's, what are they called? The king's troop artillery. And let me tell you, they are some beautiful horses. Big, beautiful horses. Very big horses. Really neat. It was neat to see the pictures of them. But that was the queen, or that was Camilla out there causing trouble with the horses.
What's funny is that this horse looks just like Chad's new horse, Jack Daniels. Just.
Does
spectacular.
It? We haven't seen any pictures of Jack Daniels yet.
Yeah, it's because I haven't got a good one yet. I'll have to. I'll send you one. But my God, the guy thinks the horse is like I said, a winged Pegasus. So any horse that's beautiful, he goes, that looks like Jack. I'm like, okay, honey.
All right, our next guest up here is a new sponsor that we want to welcome to Horses in the Morning, and we've had the opportunity to try one or two of his products, and we thought we'd just get him on the show to talk a little bit about it. He is a horse guy and a horse husband, actually, and also rides and is an inventor, has invented many things through the years, and the company is Equity Manufacturing at equitymfg.com. And this is Joseph Bartow. Good morning, Joseph.
Good morning. How are you guys? I was just commenting that the sun is just peeking up here, and you've been up for, you know, several hours already. So it's funny how the time change on the coast affects you.
Well,
I haven't.
Jamie's also in your time zone, and she's not quite awake yet, and she's been talking for 2 hours. So, Joseph, I've got to thank you, first of all, for becoming a sponsor here at Horses in the Morning. We really appreciate that. Tell everybody a little bit about some of the products that Equity Manufacturing has.
I'll do that. I wanted to first mention, though, how much I enjoy the Horse Radio Network. The programming is so diverse, and there's no political discord that's so common on the radio. And even the commercials are, you know, they're not really very annoying, and it's just a lot of people talking about something that I really enjoy. And what's taken me a while to figure out is that the different shows are like different channels on your television. And so, you know, part of one day I'm listening to Stable Scoop and they're talking about Central Park carriage horses, and then I go to another channel and it's Stacy Westfall, and then I'm listening to Horse Radio in the Morning and I think it was Kathy who's talking about endurance. And I told my mom about that, and she says, oh yeah, I was just at the AERC show in Reno, and we're going off on another ride this weekend. And so it's really remarkable what a community that you've brought together. And that's why I'm interested in advertising on it, because I figure if it's something that I'm getting so much return out of as a listener, then perhaps the other people that are also enjoying your show will recognize the value that we're giving with the products that we make. So I think that it's a really nice relationship between, and you have a show that's almost named after one of my products. So, you know, that's really helpful.
And we appreciate that. Thank you very much for that, Joseph. And Joseph, we got to throw a plug in here, too, before we get to your products, is Joseph's actually going to be on our annual episode of the Horse Husbands episode that we're recording next week. And it looks like, I can't give it all away yet, but we're going to have a very special guest on that show. So you can look forward to that. It's always one of our most popular shows we do over on Stable Scoop every year. So thank you for joining us for that. But now let's talk about manure,
okay,
forks, and fencing stuff.
Well, Equity Manufacturing, we're actually working out of a ranch. We operate our business out of a 1927 house that's situated on our ranch here in Southern Oregon. We raise Andalusian horses, and my wife wanted me to make a quick pitch that we have two beautiful mares for sale, $8,500 Andalusian mares.
There you
There's
go, Jamie.
All right, I'll
that.
Take it.
Got to get that
Can
in
you
to
ship
my
it
wife.
To Phoenix?
Anyway, pardon me?
Can you ship them by UPS to Phoenix, put them in one of your boxes?
You know, we could sure try. I sure have a good packaging machine, and it would probably get the job done.
I'll take it.
But we don't make too many products. If you've been to our website, which is equitymfg.com, you'll notice that everything we make is on one page. There's essentially three unique items for horse fencing and then a couple of different forks. The fork that we've been talking about the most is a fine tine fork, and a lot of people really like a finer tine, which is to say the tines are closer together so that you can get the small bits of manure up. But most forks that are called fine tine forks have a big, bulky, heavy basket on the end of them, and we just have a standard basket that has eight more tines, so it looks just like a regular fork, but it sifts out the really small pieces. And that's one that I think you've played with a little bit, Glenn.
Yeah, that's the one that Jennifer and I have used, and then we don't use anything else now. And we use pellets, so this is perfect for pellet bedding. And the nice part about it is that when you know, Jamie, you've cleaned enough stalls in your lifetime. You don't have that problem so much in Phoenix where you are now. But when you clean these stalls that are pellet or shaving, When you're shaking your fork to get the bits and to keep the good stuff and get the bad stuff out, the little pieces of poop always fall off the edge. They always roll off the edge. So that's why those big, stupid, heavy basket ones that were invented, so that things wouldn't fall off the edge. But you couldn't use them for any period of time if you had a lot of stalls to clean because your arms wore out. So
yeah,
this was perfect. The little poops don't fall off the edge of this fork. It's balanced. It's got a little shock absorber type system in it, and let me tell you, it is tough. That's the other thing you forgot to mention. This thing is tough. When we have stalls, even the other stalls that are with different kinds of bedding, when we have stalls that it's really wet and gloppy and it's going to be super heavy, that you take a regular manure fork and you try and scoop it out and it bends the tine. When we have stalls that are that way now, we used to get a shovel and used to shovel it out of the middle where it's all gloppy. Now we get the flexing fork and we do it with that because we know it's not going to break them.
Yeah, Helena made a nice comment about it on the Stable Scoop. She called it an industrial strength fork. And that's the first time I'd ever heard that term, but that's really true. It is industrial strength, and that's not to say that it's unbreakable, but in the normal things that people do, which is like getting the pea spot or having your horse step on it or things like that, it holds up, and the tines are very, very durable. But I wanted to talk a bit about the other fork we make. It's called,
yeah,
a shaking fork because it's motorized, and that's a fork that for people who have horses, it has a tine basket. But surprisingly, we also make a version of it that has a screen. And with the screen, we developed that for sifting the tar balls from sand on the beaches of the Gulf. And so there was a use of a manure fork that we completely had overlooked when we first came up with it, but it showed us how durable that product was. And then once the spill was over, we found there were dozens of other uses for a sand sifting tool, such as cleaning rocks in golf bunkers or at beach resorts. And also in La Jolla, California, they actually go on to a children's beach and they clean seal poop. And so we kind of made the full circle from horse manure to seal poop.
You must be proud.
Yeah, but there's some irony in that in the horse business, we get a lot of, shall we say, interesting comments from horse people about a manure fork that does the work for you. I think that we're just conditioned to work hard in the horse industry, and some people think you're lazy if you don't actually do the shaking yourself. But in the other markets, the sand markets, people are so grateful to be able to buy a tool that makes a difficult job easier. And if you've ever sifted sand, I don't know if anybody here has, but it's extremely difficult to shake something that weighs 15 pounds at the end to get a rock that weighs, you know, a quarter of an ounce. So although it was invented to help people take better care of their horses by giving them cleaner stalls, it's been actually more popular in the sand cleaning market. But I think in the future, horse people will learn to love it as well.
I did a commercial for you yesterday. You haven't heard it yet, with the person that actually put us in touch with you, who was a guest on a Stable Scoop show.
Oh, great.
One of our first
right.
guests, Anastasia. I got Anastasia on the phone, and she loves, and her horse husband loves the shake and fork. And they've owned a couple of them now, and she just loves that thing. And we haven't had a chance to try ours yet. We just haven't been to the barn that much with moving and all, but we're going to give it. We're definitely going to be giving it a try. We have a shake and fork to give a try. And Aubrey on our Facebook says she wants a shake and fork for litter boxes. Can you make a little version?
You know, there's once again a funny story. We made we heard that many, many times at the shows that we go to, and we made up. Yeah, it's. I'm going to say 1 in 20 people comes by and sees what we're doing and says, "Hey, that looks like a kitty litter box. Can you make a smaller one?" And so we actually did. It was called the Kitten Fork, and you can go onto YouTube and see a video of the Kitten Fork. And we won an American Idol-style show that was made by Telebrands. A.J. Kubani is as seen on TV in Telebrands, and he was doing a casting call for new products for a new TV show. We were one of the finalists. We got that gold ticket, you know, go to Hollywood and all that, and then the show didn't ultimately wind up getting produced.
Oh, no.
But right now, Walmart, here, pitch for Walmart, but Walmart is holding a contest called Get It on the Shelf, and it's one of the products that we submitted to Walmart. So, you know, if Walmart's listening, they need to get this product on their shelf because people want an auto-sifting kitty litter tool that you don't have to bend over and get down close to it. It's the same technology. It's just 6 inches wide instead of, you know, 18 inches wide.
Well, Joseph, if you're counting on Walmart listening to this show,
I'm
trying other avenues. Yeah, that's the first thing.
Boy, that'd be good for
we
you,
don't know
huh?
of anybody. We don't know of anybody down there that's listening at this point. Well, this is terrific. You can find all of Joseph's products. We're going to be talking more about them as the weeks go on here at Equity Manufacturing. That's equitymfg.com. And we'll post links, of course. There's a banner on our website, and we'll post links on our website as well. So, we appreciate you being on, Joseph. I'm looking forward to talking to you next week when we do the Horse Husbands episode.
Thank you. And, yeah, keep up the good work with your show. It's made my day to come back out to work. I'm keeping talking here. But I come back out to work usually at 9 o'clock at night after I tuck my horse in to pack up tomorrow's products. And that's when I listen to all the different programming. So you're doing a great job.
All right. Thank you, Joseph. We appreciate it. And thank you for advertising again. EquityMFG.com.
Thank
well,
you.
Well, that wraps it up for today. We had a lot of guests today. Jeez, it's been
I'm
big.
Exhausted. I'm going to go back to bed. It's only 7:30. I could do that, right?
I think you clean the piles out of the fields, but you don't really have stalls with bedding, right?
Oh, you really can't use bedding because it gets, I mean, I guess some barns do, but, you know, with us that can't afford misting systems and air-conditioned barns, in
yeah.
Phoenix, you pretty much have mare motels with pipe fencing for stalls. And so when you do put bedding in it, it's so windy here at times that the bedding just blows out. So my horses pretty much live the life in the pasture. They come in to eat, then they go back out. So I clean the pasture a lot more, so I don't really have to sift through stuff. It's more just grab it and toss it kind of thing. But once a week we do
yeah.
the stalls, and it's just kind of a scraping kind of thing. Just take it all out. But we did save money on bedding that way.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But,
bedding's not
however,
cheap anymore either.
No, and I do, when I go to these horse shows, I'm reminded of how much you have to sift and shake and your shoulders start to hurt because I go to these shows, you got to buy the bags of shavings that are $10 a pop, and then you at least have to put 4 in your stall because if you don't, people are going to think that you're a horrible horse owner because you didn't give them enough bedding. And so, I you know, you got to sift and shake and do that at the horse shows. So I do still get my clean on, if you know what I mean.
I'm glad to see you haven't forgotten how. I'm just
yes, no. I've had years of practice, Glenn. It's like riding a bike. You don't forget.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. All the guests we had call in. Thank you to all the listeners for listening. Don't forget that you can find links to everything that we talk about here on horsesinthemorning.com. And tomorrow morning, I'll be coming to you live from the Kentucky Horse Park. We have the executive director of the Kentucky Horse Park is co-hosting the show. John Nicholson will be with me tomorrow. They have many guests lined up from the horse park, so we're going to see what's going on there post World Equestrian Games. So we'll be over there live. Jamie's going to be driving to her horse show, and I guess we'll talk to you again on Monday morning.
Sounds good. Yeah, I just want to remind everybody that Havre de Grace is running this Saturday. She is going to make her 2012 debut, and she entered this race, and pretty much everybody else was scared. So there's only four horses in the race. So that's going to air. It's going to happen at the New Orleans Ladies Classic on St. Patrick's Day at 4:50 Central Time. So I don't know what that is. It's just that's what the article says. So good luck to Havre de Grace. Good luck to, well, to me, in the rain.
Yeah, good luck in the rain. We'll be anxious to get a report.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Everybody have a great day. Spay, neuter, and geld.
And Jennifer's, oh, there it goes. Let's say Jennifer said, Havre de Grace is a royal-looking horse. We talked about royalty. That's a royal-looking horse.
She's amazing. I'm going to kick your butt in the HRTV game, though.
All right. Good luck, Jamie.
Thanks.